11. Conclusion. Comparative phenomenology can move in two directions. Firstly, applying religious texts to analyzing phenomenal experience, and secondly, using phenomenal experience to assist in interpreting religious texts. Although moving in the second direction is controversial in the case of Buddhism, I hope to at least have shown that Zen is useful for understanding first-person experience, and that first-person experiments are fruitful, perhaps even transformative phenomenological methods. Sometimes Buddhist meditative practices are characterized as a first-person science of the mind. Certainly an empirical attitude is needed, and these methods provide valuable insights about the mind. Yet they lack the exactness and reliability of scientific methods. In Zen, Kensho is a great breakthrough in one's practice. It may happen a few times in one's lifetime, or perhaps not at all. The experiments, on the other hand, are arguably unique amongst methods of self-inquiry in their precision and directness. Clear-cut instructions are given for how to turn attention within and see one's original nature. In particular, apparatus is used to direct one's attention and contrast how you appear to others with what it's actually like to be you. Evan Thompson holds that awakening in Buddhism cannot be the subject of scientific study for a number of reasons. Firstly, it cannot be understood outside of its religious framework. Claims about awakening are understood and validated within that pre-established religious framework. Secondly, there is also a lack of agreement within Buddhism about what awakening consists in. For example, is it a conceptual or non-conceptual state? Is it necessarily linked with compassion? These issues are the subject of religious and philosophical debate, not scientific questions. By contrast, the methodology of the experiments can presumably be carried out, and the results obtained by a conscious observer of any culture at any time, whether religious or not. The basic experience can also be understood without a religious framework. For example, judging that I am pointing at a seemingly colorless, shapeless, unbounded opening. Of course, some assumptions are needed, such as an understanding that the experiments test how things seem to you rather than how you believe things are. I also argued that this form of awakening is predominantly perception-like in nature. Hence, this experience is clearly enough defined to be empirically studied. Whilst the basic experience is perception-like, working out of the meaning of the experience in one's life is the work of a lifetime, and here philosophical and religious concepts from varying traditions are useful. There is an unending interplay between meaning and experience. Also, as we saw above, Zen insights about non-duality were useful for understanding the experience, and vice versa. Questions remain about whether or not the experience itself is partly conceptual or totally non-conceptual. However, this problem applies to perceptual experience in general. Lastly, you do not need to be compassionate or ethically good to see what you are for yourself. However, being consciously open for others, disappearing in their favor, at least in theory, provides a basis for unconditional love. Whether this is the case in practice is an empirical question. From anecdotal reports, the experiments are a reliable means of transforming one's first-person experience, particularly in ways that are consistent with contemplative traditions' descriptions of the emptiness of the self and subject-object non-duality. The repeatability and apparent reliability of these methods hence opens up a class of awakening experience to empirical investigation, and as I have tried to show, can provide new insights into non-dual traditions. However, the most important question for investigation by far, because it is the most personal, concerns the nature of oneself. Who or what is aware of these sounds right now?